I like to read Max Lucado, and he tells a story. I'm stealing his story this morning, but he tells about how in the state of Tennessee, they have a really harsh penalty for drunk driving. And your first defense of getting caught with a DUI is that you have to put on an orange-yellow vest. And you go out and work the side roads and picking up garbage for 3 days, 8 hours a day. So 24 hours total. But while you're picking up and have that vest on the back of the vest is written, I am a drunk driver. I find that we have a tendency to vest ourselves as well. Don't we have a tendency to vest ourselves with those sayings that run through our minds all the time? We know that we have our own sin, our own acts of rebellion. So it's almost as if we go to our own wardrobe closet, pull out that vest, and put it on. And we wear it around. And we have vests on with our backs that says, I yelled at my kids. I lied to my spouse. I cheated on my taxes. I say horrible things. I do shameful things. I know I'm a hypocrite. And it's as if we wear these vests on out of our closets all the time. We wear our mistakes, and it's not necessarily visible to everyone else. We may have a sport coat or a nice shirt or a beautiful dress, but just beneath the surface, there's a vest that we wear, at least mentally in our minds, that we say, I know who I am. But it's not far beneath the surface, is it? I remember my first pastor was in Richland, Iowa. I was fresh out of Bible college. I was 22 years old, and I really had no idea what I was doing. A guy, I'll call him Bert, but Bert came to me, and he had started coming to our church, but he was a known wife beater. We knew. We had counseled with his wife. I was way in over my head, and Bert started coming to Sunday school, and he started coming to church, and he went to the altar one Sunday and afterwards was talking to me, and he broke down. He never even looked at me. He's just like, would not even make eye contact. He goes, you know, I hit on my wife. I said, well, I know, Bert. That's what I hear. And before I could say anything else, and I really didn't know what to say honestly, but he said, is there any work that I can do around the church? And I began to realize, welcome to the vest system. The vest system says, I need to wear this because I'm guilty, I'm ashamed of what I do. And we want to wear that in some ways because we know that I'm a drunk driver, or I know that I should be shamed. But in our own minds, and Bert did what a lot of us do, even though we've heard the story 1,000 times, maybe I need to go work this off. If I go work this off, God will feel better about me, and I will definitely feel better about me. I will serve, I will work it off, and everyone will feel better. It's a form of penance, as we know. But there's a problem with the vest system. The question is, how much? How much does one have to work? How much is needed? 3 days, 8 hours a day, sweep the church floors for 2 years, and we'll call it even. Folks, there's good news, and that's why we celebrate Easter. God deals with your sin through Jesus and what he did on the cross so that you don't have to deal with your sin through what you do. This is the message of the cross and Easter. This is why we gather and celebrate in a special way on Easter Sunday. He came to deal with our sins once and for all. You know, God cast it in high drama just so we would know, so we wouldn't miss it. All these amazing events were so that would be pressed in our minds so we could remember the story. We don't miss it because we know. It began Thursday night, the final supper. Jesus went out and prayed in the garden, and then he cried out, who do you seek? The disciples ran out, and the soldiers rushed in, and they took him. And then it was that mock trial that everyone knows that he was proved innocent. But the irony is he was proved innocent and they murdered him for it. And the hand washing of Pilate, the cruelty of the soldiers spitting on him, mocking him, beating him, striking him in the face. Then the thorny crown, the whipping and the nails. And then Christ crying out to the people, "I'm thirsty," and then crying out to God and breathing his last. This all took place on Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. of the cross, 6 hours. And we wonder sometimes, where was God? But we see from some of the texts that God was not just silent. God was not just sitting back watching it all happen. The earth trembled and shook. He untombed the tombed. And he ripped the temple of the curtain in two, symbolically saying, you know, all income free. Now, it's not one priest one time a year coming to make homage for our sin. And he was there listening and watching his son the whole time. The cross has become the symbol of hope for us as Christians because God used it instead of the vest system. His decree is, "Why don't you bring your vest to me?" Now imagine that. Why don't you bring your vest to me? I've had to ask the worship team, so I wouldn't go handpick, but I've asked them to show us in dramatic fashion what this means. But you know that we're often in church, we're vest people. We wear our vest underneath our clothing, or sometimes, you know, imagine if you had to come to church and wore your vest outwardly. Sometimes it says, "I cheated my friends, I lied to my spouse, I can't forget, and I don't ever forgive. I'm full of shame. I wasn't a good parent." There are painful seasons in all of our lives of sin and rebellion, and sometimes we just can't forget. We know that God forgives as far as the east is from the west. He has removed our sins, but us, no. And the cross is that where Jesus said, "Put them on me, boys. Put all your vest on me." Oh, it's invisible to our eyes, but in the kingdom of heaven, in the economy of God, God sees it. God sees that the dramatic act of cross is Jesus pouring out his blood, and as if we can take our vest and lay him at the cross. And we don't have to wear him anymore. Look at what Isaiah chapter 53 says. We all, that's all of us folks, every one of us, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Oh my, can we not say that? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us again, us all. Listen to what Peter says. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And then again, 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's why the cross is filled with hope. This is the purpose of the invitation of the cross. You can remove your vest. You don't have to wear it any longer. But wait, there's more. Not only do we can take off our vest and we don't have to wear around that guilt and that shame, but the Bible says that he clothes us now with the goodness of God. Galatians says this, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. The old labels no longer apply. They're laid at the foot of the cross." Why don't we put on some new garments? Why don't we try these on? Poema. We're masterpiece. We're God's workmanship. Forgiven. What if we wear that around for a while? Complete in Christ. Daughter of God. Son of God. Holy. Blameless. Not guilty. Beloved of God. Child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How'd you like to wear that outfit? Shut that door, lock the key, and throw it away, and turn from that old closet where all those old vests are, and commit to never going back to it. This is really what sets Christianity apart. You guys know I travel the world, and there's philosophies, there's religions, there's doctrines, there's ideas, there's mindsets. But this is the unique thing of Christianity. Everything else says, you got to earn it. You got to work. If you do enough of this or enough of that, enough fear, enough of you have to, then just maybe we'll see. Christianity is the only one that says the work is finished. Amen. We don't have to do anything. That's our hope. I cannot become righteous on my own. And even my righteousness, the scripture says, is as filthy rags. So this is what sets us apart. Jesus says, I've done the work. There's no probation even. The work to be done is finished. You know, on the other side of that, the popular in our culture is this idea, well, everybody gets in, right? That's attractive, but it's just not true. It's inconsistent with the core values of scriptures and the teaching of Jesus. Why do you think he said your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees? Or why did you think he told a rich man in Lazarus, and there really is a hell? And there is some people that go to hell, and there's some people that go to heaven. Or the doctrine of free will. If everyone goes, then free will is a mockery, and we're not made in the image of God because God has free will. Even the drama of the cross, there's a point, I think there's a story of the two thieves on the cross. One mocking him, the other saying, remember me today. One clearly gets promised paradise, the other doesn't. So see, it is universal. It's universal call. It's universal invitation that everyone is welcome to come and take off their vest. But it's a personal choice that the Lord allows us to make, and he's not going to not be a gentleman and grab you by the neck and say, you must accept me. I wish if I could have had the wits about me then to go back and tell Bert. I didn't know what to say. I wish I could have told Bert, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to mow the lawn. You don't have to be nice to me. God died for that. God died for all the wrong, all the shame, all the vests that you wear. And he just couldn't grasp it, and he drifted away from church. Drank himself to death. Today, isn't it time maybe that the vest you're wearing, just to take it off and lay it at the cross? Will you allow Christ to vest you in righteousness? On August 16th, 1987, Northwest Airlines flight number 255 crashed after a brief takeoff from the Detroit airport. The pilot let people know they had engine failure and they were going down. 155 people died that day, one survivor. A four-year-old little girl named Cecilia. In fact, after the crash, Cecilia was wandering around, and they thought maybe she had wandered onto the scene from one of the cars that was around or the rest of the people. But looking at the flight manifest, they realized Cecilia was on the flight. And further investigation, they found out what happened. Her mother, her name was Paula Schicken. She was from Tempe, Arizona. When Paula realized that the plane was getting ready to crash and was going down, she took off her seatbelt. She got in front of the girl, knelt down, and wrapped her body around the girl. And when the plane crashed and fell from the sky, her mother took the full brunt of the fall. And Cecilia was saved. Folks, the cross is where Jesus takes off his seatbelt. And there's no safety for him. And he knows that he wraps his loving arms around us. And he takes the full brunt of the fall. And that's what he's done on the cross. So take off your vest. Put on the new garments of forgiveness. At this point, I want to invite the worship team to come up, and we'll just close our service with inviting you to come to the communion. But today, I want to think what are the vests that you got? You know, today we kind of dress up. My wife bought me a new shirt, and it got rained on and wrinkled. Some of you wear ties. Good job. That's awesome. We dress up, but think about it. Imagine if the vest, beyond all the pretty clothes that we wear for Easter, we recognize there's this vest that I'm wearing, this vest of guilt, this vest of shame, and Jesus wants to do exactly what the worship team earlier. We just come and lay it at the cross because that's why we worship His body, His blood. He wraps His love around us and He takes the full brunt of our fall from grace. Christian life, sometimes we go back and forth, don't we? We go back to the old closet, put it back on, and wear it for a while. Then we ask forgiveness again, and we kind of, it's like, that's the part of growing in grace, folks. It's just part of the dynamic of growing in grace. And the more we grow in grace, we realize we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. And the more that we can remove that and lock that key, we'll grow and grow and grow. But don't forget today, that's what we're here to remind you. That's what Easter reminds us all. Your sin has been removed. This is not a vest wearer's club anymore. It's a vest taker's offer club. And you don't have to worry in guilt and shame. So this morning, I'd invite you to stand and remind you that the righteousness of God is wrapped around you. And if you want to come today symbolically, personally, I don't need to know what your vest is. You do. And just come and take communion or come to the altar. Come worship the Lord right where you're at. Just in your mind, take off your vest. And don't forget that God has a vested interest in you. And He loves you. The altar's open this morning. Let's worship the Lord. I want to remind you, anytime you ever see a bright orange vest, whether it be a hunter or a road worker, remind yourself that you don't have to wear that anymore. Father, thank You that Jesus didn't play it safe, and that because He didn't, we are saved. He saved us from the fall. Man, we don't have to wear a vest anymore. We don't have to wear guilt. We don't have to wear shame. And yet it's familiar clothing. It's like an old pair of jeans that we like to wear sometimes. It just seems to fit well and it's comfortable. But help us to learn to live outside that comfort into a new wardrobe. A new wardrobe of righteousness, new garments, new attire that You purchased just for us, that we don't have to walk around with our heads down. Father, I pray for these people this morning. They've come to worship You. They've come to seek You. I pray that they've experienced a little bit of You today and a lot of Your grace. Thank You, Lord, that we don't have to wear our vest anymore. We thank You for the cross. And Lord, we thank You for how great You are. We love You and we worship You today on this Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.